Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many of today's conflicts stem from deep-rooted racial or ethnic strife. It seems there's no human solution, but there is a divine solution. There is a place of common ground for those who can't stand the sight of each other. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in a series on Christians, politics, and the cross, Pastor Lutzer begins part 6, Why the Cross is the Basis for Reconciliation.
I think that all of us would agree that we are living in a fragmented culture, a culture that seems to be breaking apart. You know, the founding fathers believed that it would be possible to have a culture that would be held together by the Constitution, one nation under God. John Quincy Adams says that the immigrants must cast off their European skin, never to resume it. They must look forward to their posterity rather than backward to their ancestors. The whole idea was that America was supposed to become a melting pot. But recent years seem to show that America is unmeltable. It's very difficult to make it into a melting pot. So today we have what is known as the cult of ethnicity. We have African Americans, we have Asian Americans, we have Hispanic Americans, Anglo Americans. And I think that we can see some of the racism in our culture, even as a result of the O.J. Simpson trial and the Rodney King experience. America, its prejudices within the human heart die very hard. We're divided racially. We're also divided economically. We have rich and poor. We have masters and servants. We have ghettos and we have suburbs and we have the Gold Coast. We're divided economically. We're divided domestically. By that I mean our families are falling apart because of the high divorce rate and because of the abuse that is taking place and the infiltration into our culture of pornography and drugs and all the other things that divides and scatters. As a result of that, a whole generation of people is being reared that struggle with connectedness because they seem so disconnected from their families and from one another. Fueling all of this, of course, is radical individualism. I'm not entirely sure about this story, but I do think I heard it this week, that a man was driving along and stopped to read one of those signs that you see as you approach an airport, giving the various terminals and the different carriers, and someone hit him from behind. And the person who stopped is now being sued by the person who hit him, and now he is suing the airline company for putting up those signs. The airline companies, no doubt, are going to be suing the airport, and the airport is going to find the guy who did the painting, and he's going to get it. And where in the world is all this going to end anyway? What is the church to be doing in the midst of this difficulty and the fragmentation of America? What's the church supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be representing the fact that it is possible for people with different backgrounds ethnically, different backgrounds from the standpoint of religious experiences and cultural and economic backgrounds, it's possible to develop deep and abiding friendships and loyalties on the basis of unity in Jesus Christ, despite all the fragmentation. And that's what Jesus Christ prayed for, that they may be one and that the world may see, therefore, and believe. Unity, not just union. You can have union, you can be together, and then immediately fragment when things get tough. Union is one thing. You can take two cats, tie their tails around each other, throw them over a clothesline, and you have union. But you do not have unity. Christ was praying for something that was deep, that was really within the human heart. He was praying that we might be knee-deep in love. You see, sin always scatters. Adam and Eve committed, of course, the first sin. And what do you have in their family? You have family troubles. That's where it got started. They were divided from one another and from God, and their children end up being divided from one another, and Cain ends up killing Abel. You see, as we look into the human heart, we can see all this division, all the walls that are built up within us to keep other people at arm's length. For example, the Bible says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh means that I'm going to run by my desires. And whether or not you do something for me, and whether you feel, make me feel good, and whether I have goodwill toward you, then I'll accept you as a friend. But if you begin to become a bore, if you become difficult to be with, I will withdraw because I don't want to expend energy in a relationship. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, greed. You see, the greed, that serpent that lies coiled in the bottom of our hearts. That greed says, I have money because I have ability and I have worked hard, and you are poor because you are lazy and you are mentally challenged, and it's all your fault. The pride of life. Pride says, I'm better than you are, and not only am I better than you are, but I have myself to thank for it. Now, you see, it's possible in America to give the illusion that we are united, because America is such a big country. We can scatter. We can all be together. People say, well, aren't we united? We just sang all the same hymns. And right now, we are all listening to the same sermon. But when it's all over, we go back to our homes and we're back to our individualism. When we visited Russia a number of years ago, in that country, because of a housing shortage, sometimes two and even three families would live together in one apartment. Now, I thought about that a little bit. How would you like to share a kitchen with another family and a living room and closets? Don't you think that all of the selfishness and the greed and the mistrust and all of that scum would come to the surface if we in this country had to live so closely with those with whom we perhaps disagreed and people we don't like? Oh, it all lies there dormant in the human heart, waiting to spring up whenever the opportunity presents itself. How are we supposed to live in the midst of that? To ask the question differently, how is it that we are to learn to love people whom we naturally distrust, dislike, and maybe even hate? Now, that story is found for us in the New Testament, a beautiful model of how Jesus did it. You can take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. A perfect example of animosity and hatred are the Jews and the Gentiles. You have to understand that the Jews and the Gentiles were different in so many different ways, and they had huge walls built between them. For example, there was the difference religiously. The Jews were the chosen ones, but they made a tremendous error. They thought that God chose them because they were better than others. That was a mistake. God never chose them because they were better. In fact, he says in Deuteronomy, you are stiff-necked and you're hard to get along with and you are just plain stubborn. But I chose you anyway to put my love upon you. This should have humbled them, but it made them proud. They thought chosen meant better. And so they despised all the foreigners, all the Gentiles, and they didn't like them at all. There was the barrier of religion. There was also the barrier of race. Race. You know, we don't understand Jesus sitting on the well talking to a Samaritan woman. No big deal to us. But remember that she was a half-breed. She was part Assyrian. And as a result of the theory of blood that says if you are of a mixed race, you have lost your purity, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, much less would they have a dealing with a woman. And so you see this great hatred and animosity and the way in which the Gentiles, those half-castes, were despised by the Jews because they were racially impure. In fact, in the temple area, there was a sign that said, "No foreigner may go beyond here." There was the court of the Gentiles, and then beyond the court of the Gentiles, that's where the Jewish people could go because foreigners needed to know their limits and their bounds. They were also divided culturally. Here are the Jews with a great heritage of being God's people, and they had artistic work that was done, and they had various cultural abilities that God gave them. And then over there were the pagans with all of their artwork and all of their sculptures, which were pagan oftentimes and sensual, and the Jews despised those foreigners. There was also another division, even within the Jewish race, and that was, of course, the gender division. You know that women were not allowed either in the inner sanctum of the temple. And Jewish men used to pray, "Shame on them." But they used to pray, "I thank thee, God, that I am not a woman." You talk about the oppression of women and inequality and the whole idea that the woman exists simply to serve the man. That has a long history. As long as the history of the human race with its sin. Here's the way Paul described the Gentiles. I'll pick it up in verse 12 of Ephesians 2. "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Sad state of affairs. Do you sense the heartache? Do you sense the rejection? And yet, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The cross that you and I take into the world is a cross that unifies. It brings together, it breaks down barriers, and it makes people one.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Don't you agree that that's a message that is desperately needed in our world that is so torn by racial strife, political strife, perhaps even in your own home? I've written a book entitled Christians, Politics, and the Cross, an urgent plea that the church return to its mission. Don't misunderstand, I believe very deeply that politics is important, but it is not most important. That's why I've written Christians, Politics, and the Cross. And by the way, this is one of the last days that we are offering this resource. Christians, Politics, and the Cross, an urgent plea for the church to return to its mission. The purpose of the book? To help us think through our commitment in this very political era.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Cross, the Basis for Reconciliation, another message in a series on Christians, Politics, and the Cross. We need to think biblically and remember where our true allegiance lies. Pastor Lutzer wants each listener to have his new book, Christians, Politics, and the Cross. It's yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.